Hi, and welcome back to Let's Compare Notes, a music analysis and discussion podcast hosted by Rahul Rao. That is me. It's a nice day outside, very hot, but summertime in Houston. You deal, you live, you learn. You hang on the edge of tomorrow from the words of yesterday. Our episode today features one of my really, really good friends, Ned Gale. Ned is a member of Micro Satan, as well as has a band, Total Nightmare, surf rock band. He's also in another improv group called Outside Skin with Cody Dale Edgar, whom he also does a podcast with called Honey, I Shrunk the Binge. Then he also, Ned is a visual artist, also doing some cool video editing, also doing just general music shit too. Ned's a man of many, many, many talents, which is excellent, because it's always fun to talk to him. And what's especially awesome, I guess, is before I had even come up with the idea of this podcast, a lot of the conversations I had with Ned were based exclusively around music. So this was definitely a person I was trying to have on at some point, right? And Ned did not disappoint, because he recommended me an album that I really, really loved. Ought, the band is named Ought, O-U-G-H-T. The album is called More Than Any Other Day, and it's sort of like a post-punk, upbeat, fucking emotional roller coaster of an album that is just, like, intense. It's got its highs and its lows and stuff, but I don't know, all of the high moments sound great, all of the low moments sound great. Man, it's hard to kind of talk about this album without not wanting to just, like, gush about it for another fucking 10 or 15 minutes or so. And we'd spend an hour on it. So that would be overkill at this point. Well, yeah, I don't know. Not much to say. This album was great. Listen to it. Listen to this fucking episode. Have fun. Welcome back to another episode of Let's Compare Notes. My guest today is the illustrious. Ooh. I don't know. I don't know what adjectives to use for you, Ned. It's Ned Gale.
It was a fun one.
Okay.
Do you have applause usually or anything?
I don't know. I suppose someone can...
If you're... Don't feel bad about applausing in your car or workplace.
Yeah, regardless of what you're doing, just take time to, clap it out. You know, that was a little... This is a little sample one, but imagine a lot of those.
If your clap sounds like this, you're clapping right.
Yeah, you got it. So, Ned...
Yeah,
we're at your house.
Yeah.
We are here to talk about...
My house I'm currently legally staying in as of a few days ago.
Yeah, wonderfully. I'm glad that resolved itself. Yeah. You are here today to talk about... Today, perhaps more than any other day.
Oh.
You are here to talk about a band from Canada.
Yes.
Called Ought, O-U-G-H-T, with the album More Than Any Other Day. Ned... Can you go ahead and tell me your personal connection to the album?
So I found this album. This came out 2014. I found this album from my roommate, Jeremy, actually showed it to me. He was just going down the Pitchfork, 50 best albums of 2014. This is when he was, first getting, really getting into music. And he just was playing one of the songs from this and came into his room what is this, bro? And since then, I've listened to the album maybe 200 times plus.
Damn.
It just goes down perfect. It's got... Well, we'll get into, the specifics of it, but it's a good album.
Yep. Okay, yes.
Solid new post-punk. It's hard to find, new post-punk.
It's very good. And I suppose, I don't know, I feel that I can do this at the beginning of this episode. I'm going to go ahead and recommend this right now already.
Whoa. So
you
know what?
You don't have to sit through this episode if you don't want to. You can just go listen to this. It's great.
You can applause for another hour if you want to. You don't have to listen to it.
Yeah, just get a round of applause, please. Two rounds at this point.
I want to say right now, I was so happy that you told me you liked this album, because... I've said this before, this podcast is genius because every guest who comes in here is so excited to be on it because they get to talk about something they like for an hour.
Yeah.
But then I thought about, man, if Rahul hates this album, I have to, defend my love for, a whole hour.
Hey, so. it's really funny that you mentioned that because I guess your partner, your Honey, I Shrunk the Bingeman, your binge brother, Cody... His album was something that I definitely did not like, and he spent that hour and a half trying to defend it. So, yeah. I don't know.
To hear that. Yeah.
It's weird how that works out. But okay, yes, this album is really good. So yeah, let us go through this album track by track.
Yes.
Pleasant Heart.
Okay, so I'm going to say right now, I love every song. I love this album front to back. This is my least favorite song.
Really?
Yeah, right off the bat, which is fun. Every time I show it to people, I'm like, you might want to start a track two, maybe. But that's also been a rule for me. Anytime I listen to a new album, I always start with track two, because you cut the bullshit. Either track one's either going to be like their opener track, they're not, you know, being honest with you.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be Swelling Noise for a minute. So I always just jump into track two, and if I like it, I'll start back over. Personal thing.
Okay, sure, yeah. sure, that's fine. That's a contentious opinion, but okay.
Try it next time you listen to your album. The second track is always, like, the most... not honest, but it's like, it's what the band's all about.
Okay.
You know, they're not trying to impress you or anything. Like, this is the first time we're the band. Well, the first track is like, we gotta grab their attention. Don't give me that.
Sure.
You already got my attention. I'm listening to you.
Yeah, oh my god. Sorry.
You vibrate. You are popular.
Yeah,
Or is that Cody begging forgiveness?
No. No, it's, I get former work stuff.
No.
Yeah. Whatever. Just put it on silent. Okay, so... Pleasant Heart, you usually skip this track, but...
I used to. As of recent, very into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why are you into it?
It's a good track. I think why I didn't like it before is it felt like it didn't really mesh with the album.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to the album as a whole, and as you get further into, like, kind of the feeling, the themes in the album, it feels like Pleasant Heart is the before math.
Okay.
Of, like, what Ought does. Like, it's this dark song about this thing that creeps into your pleasant heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it swells in there, and they have these nice, like, feedback swells. Which, this band is so good at these, like, atmospheric soundscapes.
They know how to create a very specific, like, mood with their music.
Yeah, so it feels like this dark thing, and then when you get into the second track, it punches into this, like... I'm gonna go out and fucking live. So it feels like this Pleasant Heart is that dark corner that you've been in before you burst out of it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so you escape, and now the title track, I guess.
Almost title track.
Almost.
Got one extra word.
Today more than any other day. Ned. Yes, Ned. Okay, we both established
this
early on.
This is the fucking song.
Yes, okay. We both established very early on this album is all about, like, screaming in your car, dude. So,
yeah,
like,
I could define this album as a double dog dare not to roll down your windows and scream your throat wrong. Like, that's what this entire album is. And this is the track. I think if you don't check out this album, check out this track.
Yeah.
Because it is so, like, uplifting and...
It is, like, just the, I guess the chord progression of it is, I don't know, there was a term that I heard very recently called microharmonies.
Okay.
Which is pretty much, I guess the easiest way to explain that would be, imagine hearing what are two dissonant notes in terms of, not really in terms of what the actual sounds are, but rather in terms of, like, music theory, because you know you have and eight notes, right, and then like certain notes together create like dissonance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a pair of notes that is supposed to create dissonance ends up sounding pleasing, and they do that a lot.
Yes,
they do that a lot.
Yeah, his guitar tone throughout this album, or should we get into that later?
No, we can get into it now.
Yeah, he's got this. The whole band plays generally clean, even the keyboard player,
mm-hmm.
which is a four-piece band,
yeah,
and it's incredible how thick it sounds all the time. All of them are playing generally clean tones, mm-hmm. never more than, like, overdrive, and he's got this noodly just, like, tin guitar. It sounds like the Feelies or any of that throwback, like, speed jangle. I don't know if that's a genre, speed jangle.
I guess speed jangle, probably.
You know, but you know what I'm talking about, that post-punk, like, jangly
mm-hmm.
tone kind of thing. If there's, man, there needs to be, like, a prodigy post-punk jangle guy called Jangle Reinhardt.
Oh, Ned.
Are we allowed to make jokes on this podcast?
I guess, if you need to. Jokes are fine, for now. All right. So, yeah, today, more than any other day, just fucking builds you up.
Such a simple chord progression, too. Just one note, then the other, just two chords the whole way.
Yeah.
Pure power.
Like, that's easy. It's easy to do, and you put, like, a fucking really pumped-up ass, like, fucking cocaine drum beat on that. it's real aggressive. The
milk of human kindness.
The milk of human kindness, dude. That's what life does. It's awesome. Habit.
Man.
Yeah.
Another pounder of
this
a track.
This is another great... This is my personal favorite track on this entire album.
It definitely feels like a really spacey Talking Heads song.
Kind of.
And that's something that comes up a lot for this band. I see them comparing the singer a lot to David Byrne.
I mean, I can sort of get it.
I see it. The more I listen to it, the more I don't see it. If anything, I see more the dude from Television, Marquee Moon, that whole album.
Okay.
The vocals are very like, kind of like that. I also wrote down...
There's a weird Tom York kind of thing going on, too. Like, early Tom York.
Or Marky Smith, even, with a lot of, like, the Talking Said the Fall guy.
Mm-hmm.
Good vocalist.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
To be able to say, like, all those different vocalists, is like, he's just a unique guy, and I think we're comparing him to other unique vocalists. But this song is very dramatic, the builds in it.
That's pretty awesome.
Ending part.
There's a lot of again, like, that's a thing that I think we should probably like talk about, is that there is the technicality in their music is not really in the execution of their music. It is rather in the arrangement of how things are.
Absolutely.
I was actually discussing this with a friend earlier today. I was listening through the album, like, just in my car, and my friend and I were driving, and
at the same time, sorry, jokes again.
It's fine. We were driving to a place, and we were just listening to the album through, because I needed to re-listen to it before this episode, and something that I kind of just, like, I don't know, thought about was, I hope I remember it now, but it was just like, specifically this song, there is like a, and just all of his vocals, there's a certain amount of desperation.
It is.
In all of the vocals, like, he strains his voice a lot. Yeah, of course. But then we were also
But it's not like in a punk way. Like,
no,
it's
no.
purely just like, it's unfiltered angst. Like, you can tell he is a... And if you see it, have you seen what he looks like?
Yeah, he is
very
just a
skinny,
gangly, just like...
Yeah, he looks like he could snap in half, and that makes it that much better that it's like, this guy, you can tell he's like... I see him curled up in a ball, and that's like, going back to Pleasant Heart, that is a guy like hiding in his boxers in the corner, and then just wanting to fucking scream at you, and it's... Ugh.
Yeah. And he's just glad to be alive, like, yeah. Something else, I guess, was... We talked about how measured that everything sounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is something to be said about the... We definitely talked about the execution, right? But there are certain sorts of... you could call them kind of sloppy, right? Just the way that certain guitar moments happen. And then the way that his vocals, especially, like... he'll miss parts of, like... lyrics because he's trying to breathe because he's screaming in.
There's so much breath noise in this album.
Yeah.
Like, you can always hear it, and I like that he'll set up a melody that's catchy in one verse, and then the next verse just like, yeah, fuck it, and he'll just kind of slop over the same melody or not even do a melody at all.
Yeah, just play something entirely different.
Very unforgiving.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about this band, if we're talking about instrumentation too, is that it's, once again, four piece, one guitar, one keyboard. I didn't even realize it was a keyboard for the longest time, because a lot of the stuff they're doing, it's like heavy staccato, like accents, or just flowing it out there, and he'll do like little things that sound guitarish, but you can tell it's all live tracked. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a recorded album. It's just them putting it out there, and then like a little bit of overdub.
For sure. Man, that's interesting, because this, again, this album is great. I recommended it already. The thing about it is that it was so great that I immediately listened to Sun Coming Down.
Yeah.
Which is another great album. You liked it. What you said specifically was you liked it, but it didn't have as much of a cohesive element as this album.
Yeah. I think this one reads more like a book. The second one, you can tell... And I think the second one's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell that it's a band that's like been on tour nonstop. They got home, they're like, we got to record another album, and they I don't want to say shit it out because it's nowhere near shit. I think Beautiful Blue Sky might be the best post-punk song ever written. It's pretty good. Like, it's incredible. But yeah, like they're getting tighter, they're getting better, but this album, it reads like a book. Like, it goes front to back, cool, feeling-wise.
Awesome. Yeah, okay. So, I guess with that in mind, the Weather Song.
Yeah.
Okay, this is another great track. Another, like, good single, I guess, that came off of this album.
Yeah, this is definitely, like, one of the more straightforward songs, in the sense that it doesn't, like, have a drop or a build in it or anything. It's just, like, pretty straightforward with a real catchy keyboard line. Mm-hmm. The vocals are real compressed on this track, the way they mixed it.
Yeah.
It'll kind of go up, and it reminded me a lot of that Thermals album, The Blood Machine, God Machine, the one that's all Jesus-y.
The Thermals.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar.
Oh, they're great. They're great. His vocals will sound a lot like this sometimes, too.
Cool.
But, yeah, no, I like that one. I love a lot of, like, relatable lines. Tell me what the weather's like, so I don't have to go outside.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I suppose. I didn't know you were such an indoorsman.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'll give my full endorsement to the indoorsman.
All right.
Listening.
Now let's talk about forgiveness.
Yeah.
As in me forgiving you for that fucking awful joke.
Likewise. This is an 8-track album, so this is the B-side. We flipped the record by now.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So we start with... And I feel like the first half is, like, the poppy side.
Mm-hmm.
And the second half is where, like, the narrative feel of it really kicks in. This is a real slow burner. Real dramatic vocals. I think this might be his best performance in the album.
Whoa. Cool. Sorry. Got, like, a weird feeling in my body.
Yeah, but it's the one I get when I listen to this song.
who knows? Okay. Yes, Forgiveness. This one, and then there's another song on here that's also, like, mostly instrumental, right?
Yeah, this one has, like, 4 words in it.
Yeah.
Okay,
so, alright. Around Again.
Yes, wait. How is it? This is the song. I always forget the title of it. Oh, this one's pretty straightforward. It's got the...
Yeah,
kind of drum beat in there.
You can tell they're into, like, dance music and stuff.
Yeah. This is a song that I thought this was 2 separate songs. This is the only song on the album that starts to be like, ah, shit, this album might have, like, a boring section of it. It's kind of a generic sounding song, even though they're, like, all giving it their all. But this is the one where it stops and he's like, what's the line he says? How can you stand under the sun? Stand under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
How can you not stand under the sun, but you can stick your head in a bucket of water and breathe in deep? And then it cuts into that just, like, blistering guitar riff.
Yeah.
And then the intermission of the album, quote-unquote.
Quote-unquote, right?
The first time I heard this part, I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it really took me by surprise, and I love it. I think cool. It's one of my favorite moments of the album.
Damn. All right. Okay. Clarity.
So these last 2 tracks are a roller coaster. I, like, every time I hear the beginning of this track, I'm like, here it comes. He kind of noodles that guitar up. The drums are slowly coming. Everyone, like, trickles in.
Mm-hmm.
It really feels like the finale is coming.
Clarity is, excuse me. It's very bombastic, too, because the last 2 tracks, right, they, how do I put this? It builds up really quickly, and then the last track, surprisingly, is very mellow.
Yeah.
Which is something that I really enjoyed about this a lot. Yeah. It was a very nice closer to everything.
Well, it's mellow for the start.
Yeah, it's true.
Because, like, this one kind of revs up and then falls off,
mm-hmm.
and we go into... You want to go to the next one?
Oh, Sorry, I didn't mean to drive. No, it's fine. Drive away.
Well, it drops off, and it's like, oh... And it feels almost like the album's kind of over there because of how it built. But then the keyboards kind of draw in for Gemini, and it has a very, like, organs, a lot of volume swells, and it kind of builds up just like the last one. It's like, oh, kind of coming back. One of my favorite lines in it, the vocals on this album, or on this section, this is, like, the fiercest he gets. He is fucking spitting them, and it's I retain the right to be disgusted by everything. I retain the right, I can't remember the other one I wrote down. I retain the right to be absolutely mystified. Like, so many lines like that are just like, mm-hmm. So pounding and very, like, empowering. The whole album seems like he's shaking you by the shoulders, and he's just like, just fucking live, believe in what you believe in, and don't let other people tell you. It's like,
this is what you ought to believe in.
It's what you ought. Yeah. and it gets into, can I see the lyrics real quick?
Yeah, by all means. Got some water dripping.
Oh, no. No, it's fine. The last lines in here is so fucking powerful. Oh, it's the dog.
It's the dog. Harvey.
Oh, they organize these all friggin'.
I know, right? Like, this looks cool, but it's hard to read.
It's basically asking for, like, if you want change, you want it, the change, you want it. He keeps saying, like, if you want it, you want it, and get it.
Yeah.
And he says, you want it, and that's the album just fucking. This is my favorite closing. I can't tell you how much I love this album. The closing of this album gives me fucking chills because it's just like, wanted. Everyone, for a band that's been so atmospheric for like an hour, they're suddenly all just staccato, punching you in the fucking chest. Want it.
Yeah.
That's it. No closer, just a pullback and the vocals end it.
Yeah,
dude. And you're left with like, I do want it. I fucking want everything right now.
It's true. So then you press replay.
Yeah,
fucking man. So, shit. One of the earliest fucking comparisons I made before I started looking at the lyrics, right?
Because
we talked about this earlier. Like, the lyrics are kind of, I won't say they're, like you said, they're very, like, they're produced live. They're very clearly recorded live, right?
Yeah.
So the thing about them is, right, sometimes the lyrics get drowned out by, like, the levels of noise in the album, right? A lot of the times when he is just screaming, like, one word, because that happens a lot.
This album is, like, so much repetition in it.
Yeah.
And I love, like, even not just with instrumentation. I feel like that's a common thing in post-punk is finding kind of a groove and then running on it and kind of singing over it. But, like, even with the vocals, it is just...
Yeah, they love to fucking just punch the shit out of you. I mean, we said that too, man. It's hard to kind of fucking not talk about this album for me and then just, like, not want to, like, I don't know, rage out on something. Because it's hard to... The lyrics are really fucking nonsensical, Ned. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah.
They're not even really nonsensical. Here's the thing about all of them. Just whenever, next time you read through all of them, I'll give you some examples now.
Please.
But, okay, most of these lyrics are just about, like, love and about, like, trying to find love.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know, that's all it just ends up coming down to for me, right? Habit is probably the easiest example of this, right?
You get love out of habit?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Very much so, right? Because, like, I'd much rather, I don't know, for some reason it comes to me to, like, instead of like taking this as like a message about the, I don't know, person singing the song, right?
Yeah.
I would rather take it as a message of the person singing the song to someone.
To someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he does, there's a line in there that's like, do you feel it? I feel it.
Yes.
That habit form. Like, it's a lot of, he is talking to someone.
Yeah. And then, like, he talks about yours and my limitations, right?
Yeah.
And I think those, like, limitations are, like, the weird sort of limitations that people have when, like, trying to court someone and stuff, right?
Oh, man, I saw that song. It was, like, a looking inward kind of thing.
Oh, man, it's,
like, yeah.
It's looking inward, but, like, looking inward trying to find someone to, like, look outward to.
Yeah.
Like, it's, oh, man, that one gets my fucking goat every time. Like, there are moments, even today, I was with my, like, friend, and I just, like, I had a cigarette in my mouth, and at the end, oh my god, when he is just like, I have it, man, when he is just fucking belting that out, like, I cannot help but just, like, belt it out, or if I'm not, and I'm just with someone, like, I'll tear up a little bit.
Because you're holding it in.
Yeah, because I'm like,
you can't hold it in.
Yo, dude, there's something I believe in, and it's this song. Like, oh, man, it's so good.
Once again, it's a fucking double dare. It's like, you try not to scream this. Try not to just, like, rip your clothes off.
Yeah, dude.
And say, like, today more than any other day.
Today more than any other
I'm
day.
I'm going to taste the milk of humankind.
I am going to make the decision between 2% and whole milk. And, like, okay, so that song, right? That song to me is sort of in a similar kind of vein. It's not really about... if we're considering, and I really like your imagery of how it is, you know, this starts out as a kind of like someone crawling out of a dark place, right, and then emerging into the world.
Someone who's been changed.
Yeah, now that you kind of put it in those that term of reference, I guess, it makes a lot of sense to me that that would be a big decision for him. Because let's say that this person, I guess, maybe comes out of their shell. It's not a specific person. I don't think this is a narrative. A
specific party or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what song that was.
There is a... That one is a fucking habit again.
Oh, shit, it is.
Non-specific party in a non-specific location. Dude, yeah. Just the person that is, like, coming out of this dark place, I guess we can consider it, like, maybe depression. And I think that's what a lot of this album is about.
It feels anxious.
Yeah, for sure. Like, but then it's weird how the lyrics end up kind of mirroring that anxiety as well, which is cool. And I know you said you're not particularly good at lyrics.
I look into the lyrics last. But I actually made like a very conscious effort to like go through it all today.
Good.
And kind of read into it.
Well,
which I came to the conclusion. I'd been skipping Pleasant Heart so much, and then I started including it, and I thought about that interpretation, and I was like, am I afraid of the dark parts of life? I kind of am. So it's like, maybe I should stop skipping that track and be, you know, honest.
Yeah, you know, hey, the first tracks are sometimes good, man.
I'm afraid of my favorite album's first opening track. What does that say about me?
Yeah, dude, like, you even... It's only your favorite album now after listening to it, right? Like,
it's true, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. If it had been something that you just did forever and this album had come out in, like, the 80s, and I would have been like, what are you doing?
What is this?
Yeah. I don't know. That's another thing about this, too, right, is that these guys are a band that have only been around for, like, 3 years or so? Four years?
Yeah, I think 2012 was the start date.
Yeah, this is insane. And they have
And now you've heard the second album.
Yeah.
I hope they don't stop anytime soon,
because
it's just going to keep going. Like, they're only getting tighter, like, musician-wise. The vocals are sounding crazier. Like, I said that last album was a little bit scrambled. If they do take a hiatus, mm-hmm. if they do sit down and write another album, like, more than any other day,
yeah,
I can't imagine how good it's going
to
be.
Dude, yeah. I mean, we'll have to see. I don't know, because he doesn't really scream anymore.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. That's what I'm saying. Like, Who knows? And that's what I'm excited. It's like, I don't know where they're going, but I'm ticketed for the ride.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, man. And then Weather Song is another song about, like, sort of being, again, maybe being in love, but not really being in love, right? More like being in an experience, but, like, being so new to an experience. This is where I get into this idea of this album being an analog for, like, what it is to sort of come out of depression and, like, maybe may or may not go back into it, because the album ends too abruptly to, like, say for sure.
I very much, yeah.
Yeah.
Agree with that.
So then forgiveness happens, right? Forgiveness is pretty quick. The lyrics don't really... Okay. Forgiveness is a drug that you take with a shrug. Say I'd rather not heal and my stomach... and not stomach my next meal. And while I wait.
Yeah.
So...
And man, does he wait in that song.
He fucking waits, dude. Like, he waits like a banshee. Not whales. And that too, sure. But, oh, man. Now I'm joking it up right now. I can't be doing this. This is professionalism.
Cut it. Yeah.
I'm losing all of it, right? So, Weather Song is, again, like, tell me what to do. Tell me how to feel. Tell me how to, like, live my life, sort of, because I want to live my life, but I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Because I have been in this, like, dark, pleasant heart space, I guess.
Yeah. I think a lot of this album, and the more we talk about it, the more it kind of shapes it, I think it's really finding your identity outside of, like, sometimes when you come out of one of those funks, you're like, a lot of depression, at least what I feel, is like, am I myself? Am I who I am?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is really, like, this guy really trying to explore
how
to find himself. And the Weather Song is a very good example of, like, I guess how we live through social media and stuff like that. It's like, tell me how to feel. Tell me what it's like outside.
In a way, yeah. But the thing about this is, right, this is another weird point of conversation that I had with my friend, is that I think this music might be timeless.
Wow.
Yeah, okay, well, hear me out on this one. And I don't mean, like, I think it's really great. Everyone should listen to it. I can't say that enough, right? But, like, when I talk about timelessness, I don't necessarily mean, this is the best fucking thing ever. Everyone needs to listen to it. More in a sense that the way the instrumentation works and the way this guy's vocals kind of work, I mean, we're kind of living in an age where art and things being derivative is not really considered a bad thing anymore.
Yeah.
So the fact that a band like this exists that kind of openly wears a lot of its influences on its sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very much so. But, like, it openly wears those influences but then knows how to, like, command and control them and make, like, not only music that can, like, make you, you know, feel good, but they've mastered the art of, like, making you feel, even if you can't understand the lyrics or everything, you understand, like, him screaming at you.
Yeah.
And you understand, like, when he's screaming in pain. And,
yeah.
Or it's like he's screaming out of, like, yeah, we talked about desperation.
You know when those soundscapes come up. I didn't think this would do so much for the album. I was, like, really trying to take apart.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some parts in the album where if you're not paying attention, you kind of forget what instruments are going. Like, especially that Forgiveness is one of those tracks.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
I kind of lose track of what's a guitar and what's a keyboard because everyone's just going. Like,
it's so
versatile.
Yeah, it's kind of like a weird drone segment to, like, kind of start off, I guess, the second half. I listened to this on Spotify.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, I didn't get the experience of, like, flipping it over.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But it still does, like, sound-wise, really set, like, a midpoint of the album because it really drops from Weather Song being kind of like a catchy pop to, like, suddenly we're in this sea of sound.
So do you think, I guess this is another question I suppose I should ask you. Do you think that Sun Coming Down is essentially them channeling the first side of this album?
Ooh. I don't know.
Because that's what it kind of seems to be. Because the rest of these songs definitely, like, have their way weirder moments.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely no, like, Gemini on the second album. I don't know. I need to listen to Sun Coming Down again. Because the second half of that album, I kind of lose a lot. But there's some, like, kind of aggressive songs on there.
Dude, yeah, there's some really, really aggressive songs. The combo is super fun.
Let's not talk about the second album. Yeah, we're going to start jerking each other off in a second.
Well, we'll see. That's the other thing about it, too, right, is that this is a weird situation where I have listened to that second album. And it's, like, it's so strange because there is such a large distinction between what those two albums are. Just, like, now, in more than any other day, right? And then Sun Coming Down, just how different they are, and it's weird that it's the same band to me.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Oh, the first time I heard the second album, I was like, I heard Beautiful Blue Sky, and I was like, oh, this is fucking amazing.
This is cool.
But then I heard, like, Men for Mile, the opening track, and I was like, oh, this album's not very good. And then the next week I listened to it, I was like, oh, no, wait, this is really good.
it's so weird.
Yeah.
It's like, it's crazy good, man. I don't know. It's interesting to think about just, like, the weird change, because another thing we mentioned, right,
the change, you want it. You want it. You want it.
You want it.
You want it.
You want it.
Want it. Yes.
Around Again, right, we talk about it being, like, the dancey track.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then Sun Coming Down is, like, all the dancey track.
There's definitely some dancing in there.
There is some mad dancing in there. Like, shit, I don't know. Did this album influence, like, another album? Which, I mean, it obviously did because they're only a band with two albums, right? But, like, this is the same sort of, I guess, argument or sort of analytical thought that you would put into a band with, like, a larger discography, I guess.
Yeah. And that's, like, I think that's why I'm waiting for it to happen. So I can, like, guys, we can take this band seriously. They have, like, four albums and they're all fucking good.
Yeah, they're all
good. Because right now, I'm, like, holding on. When you asked about the album to do, I was, like, gripping this as, like, can I do this album yet? Do I have to wait? Like, because I really do. I have, like, so much faith in this band.
Damn, yeah.
Having a good career. Like,
I believe it. I believe that they can really fucking put their mind to it. I pray to God that they could put their mind to it.
If they blow it, delete this episode.
Okay, that's fine. I have your approval, Ned. I will hold you to that. Okay, so Around Again, kind of just, again, a danceable track. This one is more about coming to terms with your surroundings, because you can't really be helped by another person. You figured out that, like, in the Weather Song, you have sort of figured out that you can't rely on other people to tell you what to do, because you can't rely on them how to tell you how to feel about things even when they happen.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like, even when, like, I don't know. Yeah. You I mean, you understand it. That's a stupid explanation, right? But when you're sad, they're telling you to be happy. Or when you're happy, they're telling you to be sad. It's obvious, right? But even their lyrics about this are pretty fucking obvious, too. There's another part about it.
Yeah.
So
I do like that the lyrics are very simple,
mm-hmm.
but he's so good at writing just, like, little phrases. Like, my favorite band ever is Pavement.
Oh, yeah.
And so it,
yes, it is.
This probably speaks in volumes about, like, what I like. Lyrically, Malcolmus does not make sense half the time
because mm-hmm.
you can tell he's just writing phrases.
Yeah,
and I feel like Tim Darcy,
yeah,
has the same thing where he has an idea clear in his head of what the song's going to be about. He knows what he's singing, and then he'll just like throw in a line that just sounds nice,
cool,
and it doesn't necessarily make sense as much as it's like, man, that's a cool fucking line, like very,
yeah,
poetic.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, I started talking about lyrics and I blew it. This
no,
is what I was afraid of.
No, but there, you definitely hit on a point that I wanted to make, was that there is a certain amount of poetry to the lyrics in these songs. Not that it's necessarily great or anything, right?
Yeah.
But it's poetry, I guess, that is accented by the music, or rather, you know, music that is accented by, like, these lyrics. Because it's a... I mean, we talk about it being a scream-in-your-fucking-car song, right? But, like, the reality of it is, the only reason it's that is because, like we said, he has a very fucking masterful ability to craft
the best
craft
instrument
something.
In the band is his vocals.
Yeah.
Like,
God, absolutely.
I think it's so important to treat vocals like an instrument, because once you start to do that, you can start to, like, drop... Most of the bands I like have, like, non-traditionally good singers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason I like them is because they kind of treat that, like... Pavement is kind of
yeah.
where he's like, like through a song, like that's an instrument, that's like doing a pinch harmonic, it's not supposed to sound like that.
Yeah,
you've used it in that way, and I think that's their best instrument.
Yeah, damn Ned, that's some technical ass shit right there. That's cool. So yeah, just fucking around again is kind of coming to that realization that you can have someone there for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, turn your light off and on again, and then
you
shouldn't, but then again, but then shouldn't, you're calm, you're not, you're stuck in a rut, and you're feeling that you're wasting your time. And that's a weird other thing that's kind of, that seems to be brought up a lot in the album, is like kind of going about your life without any other meaning other than like the things that you're clinging on to very awfully, if I might add, because it doesn't seem like he's doing a good job of it. But
no,
like,
no, it seems like clinging almost as a safety blanket, a comfort kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh man.
What do you think of that intermission part?
Hmm.
Good, because that's one part. Like, I don't know lyrically how it relates to the first half of the song, and that's why I always thought it was two separate tracks.
Okay. Just like, and now the intermission.
Yeah, we're at the intermission.
The Lord is in attendance.
Lord is in attendance. What questions can we ask him? Are we halfway there? It's almost like this guy has dropped to his knees, and that line about, like, how can you do this without sticking your head in water, breathing deep? It's almost like he's, like, given up everything.
Yeah.
And he's like, someone answer a question. Am I about to die? Am I only halfway there? Is it the same way forward, backwards? Like, it's very,
absolutely.
Like... I don't know.
So, okay, so that kind of fits into the narrative, right? In that whenever you are at that point where it's like you have to rely on yourself, but then you've realized that you can't rely on yourself because that thing inside you just won't, I don't know, it doesn't let you live a normal life, I guess.
Yeah.
We're going to call it depression for the sake of this, right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't let you live the normal life that you're trying to have, and it will still like creep back in even though you wanted to. And, like, even though, like, you're doing so well, you reach that intermission, and it's like, fuck, I have to pray again, because this is going to be, like, just a short break, and then we're back into it.
We're getting into it.
Yeah, which is, again, sort of how we get into clarity, right?
Yes.
Clarity being kind of the, oh, shit, can we turn on this light, please, Nick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Clarity sort of being the response to, okay, well... Is God here, and what are these questions, right? Or rather, what are the questions, and we should ask God, who is a she, you know?
Yeah.
It, just for, like, the sake, I don't think it's any doing anything other than, like, being there for the sake of, like, oh, God's a lady, cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But,
Well, God doesn't necessarily have to be, like, the Christian God. Maybe yeah. it's like
it's just like
the God is like wait, maybe that's an ex-girlfriend. It's he's asking whoever. It's like this is who I turn to
sure.
when I'm afraid.
It's, yeah, or even like the thing is we talk about God. This guy with the nature of his singing, right? God is in the proclamation of God.
Yes.
Like crying out God yeah. whenever you do that, whenever you're in struggle.
There's a song in here, it's either Clarity or Gemini, one of them, where it says, Jesus God, and I had no clue that's what he was saying. Like, Jesus, oh no, it's good God Jesus. Good God Jesus! Like, it goes straight under his mouth, and when I was reading the lyrics today, I was like, oh, jeez.
It's in Gemini, yeah.
Yeah.
Good God Jesus Christ, yeah. Oh, man.
I'm looking up the lyrics to Clarity, because I'm trying to...
Yeah, oh.
Make it more clarified.
Elucidate clarity. Jokes, Ned. See, I fucking have jokes too, you yeah,
I'm glad you have jokes.
No, no, don't.
I'm thrilled.
Okay, I'm sure. Thank you. That's nice. Let's see. When you go through every day feeling like there's something that owed you and you want it.
Yeah.
Like, that's another great line from Clarity that is just like, it sort of speaks to this idea of, you know, having nowhere to go and still finding someone to, like, blame. But then even then, right after
it,
that line...
It is a very... Yeah, oh yeah, say the next line.
Well, right after that line... Oh my God, I just lost it. These fucking lyrics, man.
Yeah,
and when you feel like no one holds you like they used to, and you earned it. Yeah, you earned it.
Yes, that earned, like, I love that line
yes,
so much.
It's even though we've set up this expectation, like, I'm owed something... But I earned everyone not fucking giving it to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's real. That's real. Oof. I'm just like a schoolgirl.
And the repetitive part, because it's all like, you think you earned this, you think, like, all this stuff over again. It's, well, you think you were born powerful and you want to stay that way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Just keep, like, oh.
Yeah. You're just like, you started off as something big, but then, like, you tried to start off as something big, rather. You burst out of your shell, and you bought that milk, and you talked to a girl,
yeah.
and then you instantly fucking just, like, fell in love with the girl. And then you just fucking fucked up with the girl because you were probably too weird or something. Like, I don't know.
Because you listened to Canadian post-punk too much.
Because you listened to Canadian post-punk too much, and you were just like, this is my feelings! And that's the worst part, too, is that I'm screaming this, but it's like, I can see myself... Oh, Ned, I could see myself just, like, in a car listening to this and, like, crying and, like, eating some Taco Bell.
It's an album that's relatable to anybody, I feel like. Like, I feel like everybody has felt at least one, like, two of these tracks.
Yeah, and that's, like, the thing.
Very wholeheartedly. Yeah.
That's the other part about it, right, is that you don't even need the lyrics to feel these tracks. You just need you need to hear him and you feel it. Like, I feel it. Oh my God, dude! Yeah,
you don't even have to listen to the music to want to scream it. Like, yeah. I'll be in my car sometimes. I'll be like, "Turn your page, your magazines, and your books, any reading material, do."
Like, chapters 4 through 43,
yeah.
dude. Yeah,
God damn.
Yeah, it's awesome. Just I don't know. We're gushing super hard. Like, that's fucking whatever. I bet Cody is gonna be so mad. Oh, God.
Like Scamilton, bro.
Yeah, whatever. He got his shout out, so he should be fine. Oh, my God. So, okay. So then, Gemini. The reason I think Gemini, right? I mentioned this earlier. The reason I believe Gemini is a good sort of closer, but it also kind of. Here, give me a second. Just gonna sip this. Hmm. Oh,
I need to rehydrate. I'm like sweating bullets talking about this album.
Right now. Like, oh God. Oh, so Gemini, right?
In a second, I'm gonna need to drink more cum because I've been jizzing so much.
Oh, Ned, you would go so blue collar, like on the show. Really, you've already mentioned jerking off. What if my mother listened to this? Yeah, it'd be cool if
then
she did.
She'd have a new kick-ass album to jizz over.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. She might be into this. She might be into a couple songs off of this, actually. Whatever. I don't really know. My mom was into some cool music, I guess. I'm not going to talk about my mom anymore. I'm sorry. So Gemini, right? Gemini is kind of... The reason I bring it up and the reason I say it's an ending that it's kind of ambiguous towards the nature of, like, how to deal with depression
just
the fact that it ends on such, like, a... Not only, you know, a harsh repetition of a word, but specifically the word wanted, mm-hmm. and like want, you know, because like everyone has that feeling. Everyone has that feeling where they want to shout the thing that they want and yeah. just like shout it. Shout it until it fucking yeah, like, shows up.
I want this podcast to be over. You know, or like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh gosh, that's fine. Well, I didn't even have like a good rebuttal for that. I was so hurt, Ned. Sorry. But just like screaming for like something that you want, something that you think you need.
Yeah, I this song he has not found the solution. But he's sure as fuck committed to like looking for it.
Yeah,
and it's so like self affirming. I retain the right to be disgusted by life. I retain the right to be in love with everything in sight.
Yeah,
you know,
I retain the right to have an end in sight. I retain the right. Oh, that you're one of a kind, one of a kind. And it's like even in that kind of way, it's sort of, it's not really. How do I put this? It doesn't really sort of make his behaviors better because it sort of affirms all the weird behaviors that. A person with depression kind of goes through.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
even if it is, like, total denial of a thing, they're just gonna fucking reject it, and they're gonna scream what they want, and they're gonna fucking try to get it. As weirdly childlike as that is. But the thing about this album is that in its sort of childlike sensibilities, yeah. right, when it comes to lyrics especially, like,
It's very... minimal but still so complex
dude, on yeah. a
like emotional level.
Yeah, and like okay, so I'm saying childlike, right? Definitely I don't mean that as like a demeaning sort of term, right?
No, like blank slate.
Yeah, it's yeah. just like it is very just like scream it, just scream it's it so someone human, will fucking it's just hear you. Super yeah, it's fucking primitive, that's how like it it's sounds. Primal. There's something to it, man, that's it's guttural, visceral, like it. It doesn't really punch you, but it'll just, like, it'll grab you, and it'll hold you, and it'll yell in your face. But it'll be, like, one of those yelling in your face things where it's just like, you know, maybe this is okay. Maybe I can deal with this. This seems all right. Like, yeah, I don't know. But I suppose if you have the sort of temperament for that situation, then you'll probably like this. And if you don't, I guess, if you don't like someone kind of holding you in place and yelling at you, then maybe you won't like this album.
Fucking scoot on.
scoot to boot. Boot scoot boogie out of here. Like, yeah. Yeah. And then just fucking the abrupt ending, too. Just like, again, these one words and these phrases, dude. And that's another thing. Even in Sun Coming Down, like, this motherfucker knows how to, like, write a phrase that will stay in your head forever.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's... Even if it doesn't mean something or has a open meaning or something, he just knows how to write, like, a very good phrase.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Ugh. And even, like...
Quotable. I would have a doll that I could just, like, pull and you just say different lyrics from songs.
That would be so fun, right? Oh, my God. And even the thing... So, I'm sorry we got to talk about Sun Coming Down for a little bit. Just, like, it's a thing to mention because I think it also fits into why More Than Any Other Day is so good, right? Mm-hmm. Is because... Beautiful Blue Sky, the fucking chorus of that is literally, it is phrases that you say to someone that you haven't seen in a long time, but you don't really care about.
Just empty fucking...
Just the things...
Talk.
Just, like, yeah. Small
how's
talk.
How's the family? How's the family?
You know, beautiful how's weather day. Fancy seeing you here. Yeah, like, oh my God, that is so... It is so fucking mundane and banal and, like, set to a weird fucking just, like... Four forward fucking jangly guitar. Spacey. Yeah. Sounding like the fucking Eagles or something. Like, yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, that is awesome. Somehow.
I haven't listened to any, like, interviews with the band or anything, but I'm so curious what the singer's like. Like, he's got to be an interesting fucking character.
Here's the thing, right? The only time I've ever seen him talk is there's a thing on YouTube, I guess, whatever, like, shouts out, I'll plug this or something. It's a Seattle radio station.
Oh, yeah, KXP.
Yeah. They did a live recording.
Very good one.
Yeah. That was great, right? That's the only time I've ever heard him speak is in between those two songs.
Yeah.
Was just like, oh, this you guys are pretty cool. And he was like, yep, we're doing pretty cool. So we're doing pretty cool stuff. Oh, man. They're super cool, Ned.
I'm happy not only you liked it, but, like, you really enjoyed it. It's an album that I've really wanted to share with people because I'm so passionate about it. But it is, like, it's really hard to get people, like, hey, there's this post-punk record that came out in 2014. No, it's not Parquet Courts, so you haven't heard it. So I hope you please like it. it's tough. It's a tough sell, but I put my name. I wish I could stamp my name. If that meant anything to anybody,
dude,
I would.
The Ned Gale seal of approval. Yeah. The Ned Gale seal of a bingeful. You can binge the fuck out of this, dude. Damn. Yeah, Ned, this was fucking super cool. Yeah, like, our notes were pretty much like the same fucking thing, save for lyrics and stuff, right?
Yeah, just I'm like, glad we had a similar interpretation.
Yeah, this album's dope. Yeah. This album's fucking dope. It appeals to Cody's... It's so funny. Cody's album appealed to, like, none of my sensibilities because of the nature of musicals, and your album appealed to, like, all of them. It's that's weird how that happened. Whatever, Ned. Maybe this is where everyone found out I'm secretly gay for you.
Finally.
Yo, thank God. The world's been waiting. So, well, shit, Ned, we have, like, so much time to fucking talk about stuff still.
Oh yeah, how deep are we?
We're only like 48 minutes, dude. Like,
all right, kick ass. Yeah, let's talk about this some more.
Okay, well, I don't know.
We're doing this all fucking day.
What do you want to talk about? Like,
let me look back at my notes a little bit. We just missed them. They were in Austin.
Oh!
Yeah, like a month ago. It was on like a Thursday or some shit. I almost took off work to go.
Fuck, Ned, I would have gone.
I know. I want to see them live so bad because. Like, let's go back to the instrumentation a little bit. There is overdubs in there. There's times when you can hear two guitars. But now I'm glad you listened to that KXP thing. Because, like, despite, like, during Beautiful Blue Sky, yes, he's out of breath at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
Because who the fuck wouldn't
be? Who the fuck wouldn't
be? He's, like,
be?
Singing so nonstop. And they're, like, they're at the end of their tour, which that's my only beef with KXP. And it's not their fault. They always just catch bands at the end of their tour. So sure. It's like, this band is either going to be real, real good right now or fucking tired as shit.
Lots of people end in Seattle. Like, I get it. It's fine.
But, like, so you could tell Ott was, like, kind of tired, but, like, they still sound so fucking full, and that keyboard player still carrying so much weight of, like, setting an atmosphere while still doing just, like, noodly-ass, like, electric piano riffs.
Yeah, it's very much, their interplay with each other is really good. Oh, man, never mind. I'm gonna tell you about that later.
Okay.
Yeah, just, let's see. What cool shit is there to talk about other than these guys are fucking cool? Like, listen to it, shit, man. If you any sort of, like, if post something is probably in your vernacular as far as music is concerned, these guys should probably be in it. Like, I'm gonna say that, like, these dudes are really fucking good, and even if they don't make it past like two albums, like,
that's fine with me. Like, put a stake in it, it's done. That's cool. Or put a fork in it.
No. Put a
stake on top of it. It's raw.
Yeah, and then, I mean, it's still raw now, but then you put the fork in it, right? But, yeah, I don't know, if they stop after this, like, I wouldn't necessarily be happy, but, like, their output has been good enough to where, like, not displeased with what I have.
Yeah,
and I
can re-listen to it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that sort of goes into what I mean about being timeless, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that this is, for me, this is something that I feel that I will probably be able to revisit at some point later in the future.
Oh, absolutely.
Just like when I am older, if I even have like children and they're like, Daddy, what you listen to? And like, they're maybe into like cool, faster, like alternative stuff. Maybe I have a punk rock wife or something. That'll be tight. Yeah, I don't know. Just if like they're into that. I would probably show them this.
Yeah,
like,
it's time to taste the milk of human kindness, kid.
Yeah,
I love that line. I've said that like 9 times in this podcast.
Dude, it's great. And just like the way he says it too is like, because right before he's fucking screaming, hey, more than any other day. And he's just, I have decided to take the decision between 2% and 1%. Like, because he just fucking screamed.
It's coming out. Yeah, there's no editing with those vocals. That's a one take from the fucking front of the song to the back, whether he did it with the live tracking or not. Like,
dude,
it's just so raw. Like, this album, it's so clean. It's accessible to anybody. Like, if you don't like it, you don't like it. But there's not much working against you unless you just, like, don't like this kind of music.
I mean, it's clean with a lo-fi sensibility.
Yes, we'll yeah.
Very much so.
A lot of compression in the vocals, sometimes distorted at points, but, like,
yeah.
As far as tone-wise, it's never, like, a metal song. It's never a punk song. Like,
no, not at all.
Even The Wire, another band that I kind of compare to this, can get, like, kind of heavy and stuff like that, despite being, like, quick jangle, post-punk kind
of
stuff.
You know who they also really fucking reminded me of? I don't know whether or not agree to this, take offense to this, whatever. Comparisons are comparisons. The first Block Party album.
I never really listened to Block Party.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Oh,
man.
That's cool.
A bummer.
That's cool. Like, yeah. The first Block Party album reminds me a lot of this. And if you fucking like this guy's voice, dude.
Yeah.
The dude from Block Party. Especially that
dude,
first
sign
album.
Me the fuck up. Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, I'll check them out.
I'll fuck your shit up, fam. Like,
please.
It's good. That's a lot of what it kind of gave me a vibe as to. I mean, you probably fucking played that song Helicopters on Guitar Hero. I know you probably played it.
Oh, man, I was never a Guitar Hero guy. I'm a DDR till I die, baby.
Oh, dude, that's
so
right.
I kind of toss the guitar. Hey, now.
This is fine. Whatever.
I kind of tossed the Guitar Hero stuff out the window when it first came out. It was like, you're not even working out, bro. Where's your cardio?
This is real guitar.
Yeah.
Where's
your interactive playability?
That's why you just played real guitar, Ned, and you're so good at it or something.
Bro.
Whatever. You're not, then. That's fine.
fuck, I lost what I was thinking. I kind of remember that song.
So, sort of. Whatever. That's probably the only song that a lot of people have heard nowadays. Mm. But they have an entire...
If it has a shred of comparison to this album, I will fucking put the entire thing in my mouth and swallow it before I even listen to it. Like, I'll commit.
Yeah, dude. Okay, yes. I will say it. I will fucking say that. Like, I will... Silent Alarm by Block Party. Fucking check that out. If you like this album, there's a pretty good chance you'll fucking like Silent Alarm, too.
Sweet.
Yeah. shit. Oh, man. Man. I don't know. What else is really there to fucking talk about? Like, this album's great. You said it's fucking great.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're repeating ourselves a lot because that's the nature of the album. It repeats itself. There's not... The album... I'll say this so many more times, it's simple. It's
mm-hmm.
so damn
oh, yeah.
simple, and the lyrics are simple, the instruments are simple,
mm-hmm.
but everybody's so in tune with each other. You can tell these guys, like, they all live together. I found that out today.
Oh,
I was, like,
wow.
reading stuff.
Best friends,
and these are people who know exactly what each other's doing, and they're so perfect at it. And that, like, it's so rare to get that kind of, like, unity
Whoa.
In a first album.
I hope these guys stay friends, dude.
Yeah, so it's like, even if they do break up, I'd be so interested to hear, like, what all the
other
bands...
Solo albums, right? Like,
well,
yeah.
Not even solo, I'm just like, what projects they do, but it's gonna be a shame because they are, like, tight right out of the fucking gun. Even, they have an EP before this.
Yeah, I haven't heard it.
It's just as tight, not as catchy, maybe not as great, but, like, still raw, still live-tracked, like...
Damn, not as catchy? Probably might be more into it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, because that's the elitist fuckhole I am.
Oh, I did want to talk about the art a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
That's something I was... Yeah, you should do that in your podcast a little bit more. Not suggesting... You should run your podcast like this. No,
okay,
you
know, you and John Wayne can join the fucking club of, like, people who like to tell me what to do with my podcast.
I didn't get to listen to John Wayne's episode yet.
No, that's
fine. I listened to the album, but... No, I think album covers are pretty important because I listen to a lot of my music through YouTube, just because that's the nature of work.
Sure.
And all the way I find new albums, I'm like, that's a cool album cover, and it's, like, recommended because I was listening to this album.
Whoa.
Or something like that. So this is an album cover. I clicked it literally because it looked like this. It looked really nice.
Ned has the record, by the way.
Yeah, I'm holding it up right now. It's a bunch of hands right in the middle. It's a nice, like, white border. Bunch of hands in the middle, a lot of, like, I don't know, it speaks a lot for the album. It's like, we're all in this together, kind of, like, weird.
There's, you can see, like, a woman in a shot right here. There are hands of, like, different sorts of colors and stuff. They're all reaching together. Another thing about the hand is that it is off-center of the frame, and I think that kind of, like, that is a good sort of representation of where this kind of band is in terms of, like, the scope of rock music and where they are. I know that's a fucking heady bullshit.
It kind of looks like a sun the way it's up here.
Yeah, a
like
sun
a
of people are the sun. I am the sun. So that's another fucking thing I didn't even fucking mention.
Wait, before we go any deeper, I just want to mention they found this photo on top of a trash can right after they finished recording.
That's
and they're like, this
awesome.
Is gonna be our album cover.
That's fucking.
And there's something like fucking beautiful about that to me. Please make your point now.
Okay. So. I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but a band that I draw comparisons to, especially with the fucking repetition of lyrics and just, like, the yelling, really early Swans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you've listened to, like, so much of the early stuff.
I'm not, like, deep in Swans, and I think you've actually given me a couple older albums to check out.
So we're talking Filth. We're talking Money.
Yeah.
Greed. We're talking Body to Body. Like, we're... These are moments when, like, Michael Gira is, like, fucking screaming one word, and just, like, oh, man, there are so many songs in those, in the Swan songs, right? Swan song. In those songs, the phrase that Jira screams is definitely a lot darker.
Yeah.
And this is like in the same vein, but it's almost like the fucking mirror. Like you hold the mirror.
It's dark, but it's coming from a place of like wanted improvement.
Yeah.
Or I feel like Swans is like, shit's dark. And it's gonna be dark.
It's gonna be dark and aggressive.
Fucking awesome. Yeah, I'm so into that. But like, I think that's part of the charm of Ott is like, no matter how aggressive or scary or sad any of it gets, you can tell they want what's best for you.
Yeah, they are like, they want to bring you up. They want to hold you up because
they
want to
be a bunch of hands.
But you know, I guess the specific Swans reference, I guess, is, you know, I am the sun.
Oh,
we are the sun. Like, yeah, people are the sun. I love everyone, dude. Yeah, that's another thing about this album is like, I love everyone.
Yeah,
cause like even the lyrics.
That's another reason why I want to see him live. I just want to fucking hug somebody in that crowd.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
I bet that's a great audience.
I bet they would be tight unless they mosh. Yeah. But what if like a mosh for them is just like let's touch each other on the shoulders? Like, yeah.
It's a friendly mosh to remind each other. I don't know. I feel like when I go to shows of bands I really like, I grab strangers a lot and just scream lyrics in their face. Have you been to a show with me?
No.
People are always surprised, like, Ned, you get in the pit a lot. I was like, yeah, that's what you do at a show,
I mean,
right?
I would believe you get in the pit, but, like, I don't know. I've never seen you, like, wild and out, Ned.
Man, I'll get passionate. If I'm going to, like, catch me on a Titus Andronicus song, and we'll see who's embarrassing. Like,
Probably me still, because I won't be cool at all. I'll still be wearing these fucking salmon colored shorts. Oh my god. Well, fuck, Ned Gale, we are at time for this fucking episode. I think.
God, no.
Shit. I mean, finally, I'm tired of you, Ned Gale. You're a racist.
Apparently. Honestly, what's god damn it? I'm not into this inside joke.
No, I can't. Ned. Ned Gale is cool with minorities. That sounds even worse.
Ned, it really does.
Oh my gosh. Ned, whatever. What's up? So, I don't know. Yeah, we're fucking done with this album. I think I realize this is, again, we're going to repeat this again. I recommend this.
Yeah.
You recommend this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. I don't think there's like anything else to say.
Yeah, go out, listen to this live, go out, listen to this album, and then go out and live your fucking life.
Yeah. Because
that's what they want for you.
That's what they fucking want for you. Well, shit, Ned, that was fucking rad. We did it. We talked about an album.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no problem.
I got to do this.
Yeah. So let's plug your stuff.
Oh, kick it ass.
Yep. So obviously, we've got Honey, I Shrunk the Binge. With Mr. Edgar.
Yeah.
Super excited. Listened to Legendary Journeys, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Love that so much. We'll talk about that after this episode.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you some notes. I'm gonna compare notes with
Please.
You.
Please, yeah.
Honey, I Shrunk the Binge. I don't know. What else?
I do Honey, I Shrunk the Binge with Cody. We're also in a group together called Outside Skin. We're gonna be producing some videos and stuff soon. We are not a cult. There's not a cult.
Okay.
I also do a live podcast every week with Ruth Hirsch and Josh Brokaw called
The Stacks.
And I love that podcast dearly, and I recommend everyone give it a listen.
Please.
Real fun.
Dude, The Stacks is fun. Hey.
And if you live in Houston, come out to the show, because it's such a nice community.
It's BYOB. Like, they have audience participation and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
People give out candy. Like, sometimes people even bring, like, sausages. That was a fun time.
That was very fun. We tried to keep it fresh. The sausage, we mean.
Yeah.
I am also in a group called Micro Satan, which fucking member's been on here, so I'll explain that.
Not every yet. We still need, you know.
Slowly, yeah.
Gotta get. Hey, yo.
I really want to hear everyone else in Micro Satan's albums.
Like,
I'm curious what Roots is.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, when she's dropping, like, lightning bolt references at the Stacks.
I know.
And
right?
All of us are like, what the fuck? Like,
that's so strange. Like, yeah, Ruth, Ruth's knowledge of music, I think, is deeper than I think she realizes. But I don't know. There are some people who are just not super into music. But
yeah.
Ruth said she wanted to do Katy Perry album. I'm down. Like,
God. Fuck yeah.
That would be cool.
You're a Katy Perry fan.
But, like, yeah, I need Josh to get on there. Josh, I'm calling you out. Nick Merriweather, calling him out. Calling him out for a logo. Calling him out. probably going to get that boy, Chris Jett, maybe. Let's see if he what he's up to. Yeah. Austin Havokin, I got to get him.
Yeah. Oh, Austin Havokin, he sends me music weekly.
I'm probably...
It's always, like, sweet Brazilian, like, psychedelic punk music.
That sounds tight. That sounds tight as fuck. I think I would be down.
A few more plugs, because...
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
My life is a fucking spiral of...
Ned, you do a lot.
I'm in a band called Total Nightmare.
Yeah, you are.
If you like Man or Astro Man or any, like, proto-surf...
Hey, but they're totally dreamy. Don't even front. They're cool. They're fucking tight. Just surf rock.
Just some, like, masturbatory, clean, shred music. I love that a lot. And then I do art. Follow me on at I do art. Fuck. Jesus Christ. Someone call my parents. I draw a lot, and they're funny looking. Follow me at Ned of the Dead on Instagram.
Yeah. Is dead spelled regular dead?
Yeah, dead standard.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what else?
That should be it, right?
So Stacks.
Two podcasts, a band, and a sketch group is a lot. That's
Mike
that should
Satan.
Be it.
Podcast. I don't know. What about your? What about Harvey? You
want to plug Harvey? Yeah, let me plug my dog. Oh, that sounded fucked up.
Oh, man, I can't believe you.
Because it's not my dog.
Oh, okay, no, fair enough.
I want to plug Jeremy. Is my roommate. He's the one who showed me this album. I guess I could plug him. He works at Pax Americana. Fantastic restaurant.
Oh, the restaurant? Ooh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, we'll plug them real quick. And then let's plug Harvey, like the sweetest dog in the world.
Oh, that's a little kitty dog.
Very sad that he's in a cone right now.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
A cone. Oh,
well,
Jesus, wow.
Oh,
I wish
damn.
I hadn't plugged my comedy stuff and then said that.
Okay, well, shit. Oh, fuck yeah. Hey, tomorrow, I guess. I mean, this will be in the past, I suppose. But you will be hosting Beta.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did, yeah. The new Beta blog. Since the venue closed down, rest in peace.
Yeah, dude, RIP.
But
Harambe.
It is... Dude, improv out for Harambe. Yes, the venue may be gone, but the everything's still going to continue. The same people are just as passionate.
Awesome.
And they're going to be starting doing the Beta block at the Wofford, and then they'll be moving to Midtown Bar and Grill.
Nice.
And I'll be hosting the first night at the Wofford, which is like a huge honor to be able to like...
Cool. Congratulations,
yeah,
man. Like
some to a new era.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really going to be anything new for you because you're there all the
yeah,
fucking time.
Yeah, it's weird. Micro Satan shows are at Midtown Bar and Grill, and then Stacks is at Wofford, so it's like, oh, cool. It's like I'm having people over. It almost gets like... No, I'm super excited to see improv on that stage.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it'll work out well.
And real quick, I want to plug the Wofford. That's like my favorite venue in Houston. I've
yeah,
got to play some shows there, and every time I see a show there, it's such a great place.
Dude, it's really awesome.
Yeah, Madison, Hannah, and Bob all live there, and they run that place great.
Fuck yeah, that place is real cool. Houston, man, that's that. We can just plug Houston.
Yeah,
let's just plug Houston. Houston DIY like art space scenes. That's the fucking jam.
It's going.
Like, yeah. I love that. I mean, you can't really have that a lot in other cities, but, you know, property values are so low, and everything's spread the fuck out. So, we have certain spots where no one fucks with anyone. So, all of a sudden, like, art installation shit. R.I.P. Jenner. R.I.P. Beta.
Yeah.
Like, but hey, the Wofford is still alive and existing, and it's doing
and
well.
And from the ashes will come many more venues. Stuff comes and goes in Houston, and it's, like, kind of exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Shit. H-Town's tight. that's been fucking it. That's it. Thanks again, Ned. Bye.
Thanks.
And that has been another episode of Let's Compare Notes. I want to thank Ned Gale for being great, giving me a good album, giving me something to talk about, and being really easy to talk with. That was fun. I'd like to thank anyone who is tuning in to these episodes. Of course, all of the longtime listeners, but all of you new people as well. I realized I've been getting more exposure on different kind of mediums. People have been sharing shit a lot on social media. So I'm grateful to you if you decided to listen. Whether or not you liked it or hated it, whatever. I would really ask you to come at me with feedback. I always appreciate feedback of any sort. That's what it's about. I cannot get better until, you know, my audience kind of gives me a level of interactivity, something I mentioned in sometime on air, on recording. So it stands. It's illegal. Let's see. Yeah. Nothing really else to talk about. I suppose I should say this. I will be going on hiatus for a little while. Some stuff has kind of come up, and my ability to record is going to be hampered for a little bit. Only for a little bit, I promise you. Once I get everything kind of situated again, then I will have more episodes uploaded, of course. But until that time, just know that I'm kind of trying to work on some life shit right now. So, yep. Stay strong, me. That was more of an affirmation to myself, not really to you guys. I know you guys will probably just, like, live your lives because that's what you do. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Check out the Mockingbird Network, of course, obviously. Mockingbirdnetwork.com. They are sponsoring me to some degree. So, yeah, shouts out to them. And, yeah, that's about it. Thanks again for listening, you guys. And I will see you in the future. I promise you.